pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll call the meeting to order and take roll starting on this end. Trustee Dennis.
Here.
Trustee Gannon.
Here.
Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Brandon is here. Trustee Rafter.
Here.
Trustee Gennery.
Here.
Trustee Harris.
Here.
Are there any modifications to the agenda this evening? Is there anyone visiting who'd like to see an item moved up or down on the agenda? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the agenda as submitted? Trustee Gast, is there a second? Trustee Dart, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. Are there any announcements this evening? Mr. Burt.
Just one item. Tomorrow evening is the open house session here from 6 to 7 o'clock. Brown County is holding the open house on the Webster Avenue Bridge project. It's an open house format. There won't be a formal presentation like they provided a couple weeks ago to the board, but they will have all that information and then just answer questions from people as they come in and ask questions and want more information. So that's tomorrow evening from 6 to 7 o'clock.
And they'll stay here regardless. If there's no one here at 6, they're still staying until 7. Okay. Thank you. Any other announcements? Hearing none, we'll move on to public appearances. Is there anyone who'd like to speak this evening? Yes, sir.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'd just like to encourage the public to attend the bridge meeting tomorrow and take an active role in helping design that bridge, even though we're not engineers. We'd like to see that more pedestrian friendly. I've been approached by people who have used that bridge on rainy days, and the high speed traffic splashes up into people, and they can't use the bridge if there's water on the ground. So the sidewalk should be wider, as proposed at the last meeting, to accommodate bikes and pedestrians and make it more user friendly. That's in our TIF district. The state and county are going to be doing the heavy lifting on improving that neighborhood. This is the time for people to look to see what that neighborhood should look like. And the same thing on the Highway 57 Riverside Drive corridor from St. Joseph Street down to 172. The public should be involved in that. And I think the proper place for the public to become involved in that would be with the Planning Commission. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak this evening? Hearing none, we'll move on to item 5, action regarding the Neighborhood Association and update on Neighborhood Watch. Now, why don't we get the update on the Neighborhood Watch first? Is there anything that you'd like to add to the information that you've given us with your memos to E.O. Lautner?
Not as far as the workshop, I think. Like, I put the memo, I'm just going to start going near the venues and hanging up flyers and hopefully generating some sort of interest.
Okay. So, as far as the action that you're seeking, is it direction with regard to the mailing? I have two memos from the 5th of August. Yeah, one was about going
door to door. Flyer I put up on the desk for you right now. I'm sorry if it's the time. What I want to do is go ahead and either do a mailing of the sheet as is, or if it would reduce cost, we can look into making some kind of postcard or do a mailing that way. And go ahead and start with Ward 1 of the Valley Ward Plan Map and see if we can generate interest that way.
DEO Lautner, there's a flyer on the the back page of your memo in the packet. Is that the same as what you put on our...
Yes, it is.
Okay. So the real... the action that you're looking for tonight is to move forward with additional expenditures for the mailing?
Do we want to go ahead and mail and also who our official contact person here should be?
Right.
I did talk a little bit more with Green Bay. They actually have three employees that deal with this that are part of their zoning and planning. And I'm not sure it's directly should be a law enforcement activity.
Okay.
And that's the association. I'm sorry. The association?
Yes, I'm the neighborhood association.
Can you educate me on why don't you think it's a law enforcement activity? I know we've talked a lot of times about sort of, you know, what it's called proactive law enforcement, and DEO Flannery was really very involved in things like Neighborhood Watch, and is...
The Neighborhood Watch part of it, that's absolutely law enforcement related. And while that, I think it does coincide somewhat with the neighborhood associations, you know, as far as going with, you know, producing a neighborhood newsletter, well, if you want to call a neighborhood newsletter, I already do that, but I'm not going to every individual neighborhood. It's going to be up to them to do it.
Sure.
You know, forming committees and representing neighborhood interests to the government and media, you know, that's stuff that zoning, planning, things like that, that I certainly, you know, I know a little bit about, but very little. You know, if it's something directly law enforcement related, then obviously I would be there to jump in and help address that.
Okay.
But when it comes to, you know, the stuff that is described, especially, you know, in the handouts that we got from, sorry, I don't recall our name, from the city group made that thing, it's much broader than just Neighborhood Watch and neighborhood, you know, law enforcement issues.
Okay. So as if I'm recollecting this correctly, that we actually, as a board, came to some consensus that we'd like to sort of see the two concepts merged into one so that it's not just about Neighborhood Watch, because that sort of insinuates a certain type of... we want to sort of develop neighborhood associations in which you might have a Neighborhood Watch group that looks out for public safety within that area. But the result of that is that we might be asking you to do things that are sort of outside of your area of expertise.
Yeah.
Got it. Thanks for clarifying that. Okay. Trustee Dart?
Are we just commenting now? I mean,
you can, sure.
I have a comment. I do think that it is a very time-consuming and organizational kind of person that we need, and not that you aren't. But if we take him out, and if we have DEO Rob now doing this, then who's doing our police enforcement?
Well, we have 24-hour coverage, and we can... But I understand what you're...
I just think it's a lot for us to use that person.
Yeah, and DEO Lopno said this very early on. If he's doing this, he's not going to be doing something else. And we have to make some decisions about the priority list, right? And we obviously don't want, you know, people to be breaking the law and drug houses to be forming as DEO Lopno's, you know, forming neighborhood associations, but I think it was the thinking of most of us that if you develop strong neighborhood associations, it's actually going to relieve some of the law enforcement problems that you're having. Trustee Gast.
I still really like the concept of multiple neighborhood associations for a number of reasons set out, you know, in the draft flyer. I don't think it should be our DEO's responsibility. I don't think presently we should authorize, you know, the expenditure of a mailing. I think what the board should do is figure out what the neighborhoods are first, you know, based upon historical context. And we come up with the neighborhoods, and we plot them and say this is this neighborhood and this is that neighborhood. And I think All About Alloway is a perfect venue to promote that activity and say here are the neighborhoods that we're looking, neighborhood associations we're looking to start and have them, you know, reach out to the village. We can put it on the website. You know, we can do it all at one time. I think, you know, the initial point of contact should be the village administrator. If there's a lot of activity and lots of neighborhood associations ideally want to start, we can look at maybe delegating that responsibility to someone other than the village administrator, but it seems to be that'd be a good place to start. If one wants to start, I'm sure Brad could handle that. If five or six or ten want to start and need more intimate involvement on behalf of the village, we're going to have to figure out who should be the lead person to handle that.
Trevor.
I was kind of thinking about it.
But
I think if we're going to start it, I mean, just to get our best foot out there, I think the village administrator should be the initial point of contact, because that shows that we're serious about it. You know, but if there is a lot of activity, it takes a lot of work, then maybe someone like Trevor could handle that position. And then I think Neighborhood Watch should be part of, once the Neighborhood Association develops, then our DEO can work with that association to develop a Neighborhood Watch program. I think the association should come first.
I agree with you somewhat. I don't think sort of assigning it to the village administrator and putting it in all about Alloway is aggressive enough. It doesn't send the message that we're really serious about this. I can see a model where once we sort of develop what the neighborhoods are, if one of us lives in those neighborhoods, we would be natural advocates for the formation of a neighborhood association in the neighborhoods where we live. And even if we don't, I could see us sort of trying to organize some folks in these different neighborhoods to get the ball rolling. Otherwise, we're just sort of passively putting word out and telling people, if you feel like taking on this pretty significant task, go see our village administrator and he might be able to help. I'm not sure that a year from now we're not going to be sitting having the same conversation. So, D.L. Lautner, at one time we talked about Mr. O'Rourke getting you information on some schemata of what neighborhoods might look like, because there are historical neighborhoods within Alloway. Did you get that information?
Yeah, that's where the idea of Ward 1 came from.
Is it just by wards, or is it
That's all I was looking at right now.
Okay.
Just as a start.
So my understanding was that the traditional neighborhoods, the way they were, don't really follow the ward boundaries. Is that correct from your information from Mr. O'Rourke? Unless there are objections from the board, I don't want to suspend the rules, so I can ask Mr. O'Rourke directly. Mr. O'Rourke, the sort of divisions or the schema that you were thinking of, how does that line up? How many neighborhoods are there? And the neighborhoods that are established, would that cover the entire village of Alloway, or are there pockets where there just isn't a historical neighborhood?
I've looked at the different subdivision maps, the original farm private claims, which are the French long lots, which is where the Alloway originally developed, and river to river, which follows the Ward 1 model, is the most traditional way that the city developed. So river to river in long strips is the easiest way to track the different subdivisions, and that tends to be the way that the wards were done. If you take a look at it, river to river, and then you divided the village in three sections, from Webster Avenue to the Box River, Webster Avenue to Libel, and then Libel to the East River. That covers everything.
So
if it were me, the ward is the easiest way to do it, because those maps already exist. And then if you just look at the subdivisions located within those wards, you will then see that those follow, the neighborhoods follow closely the ward map. So that's the easiest way to do it. And then the subdivisions, for example, Old Alloway would be ward number 4, and that covers from the Fox River to Libel Street on that, from 172 to Mission. So that's an original farm. The ward map is the easiest way to do it, and then I would overlay the different major subdivisions over that, but that's a good way to do it.
So if we were to do that, many of the wards are not river to river. And so,
right.
Which is fine. How many would that result in if we literally took the 8 wards and then overlaid the subdivisions within ward? Are there an average of 4 subdivisions within each ward? Are we talking about 32 neighborhood associations that would cover the whole village? Or
yeah, but I don't think that you're going to want 32 subdivisions.
That's what I'm getting at. But if we were to do that, to literally overlay the subdivisions on the wards, how many would we have?
I divided it on up and I saw 15. If I went river to river, I had 5 sections, river to river, and then 3 sections
within each
section, you get about 15 good neighborhoods. And that's, you know, that's the way it lays out, and those 15 neighborhoods lined up fairly close to the ward map.
They did?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, for example, ward number 5 was primarily one subdivider, one landowner. So Katie Barnard subdivided all the land of Sunset Park and Sunlight Park for luxury housing, and then Taft Street was for the workers' housing, and that was by the same gentleman. And then Town and Country was a golf course in between those two, and then that got subdivided by somebody else. So, for example, the 5th ward would make sense to maybe split that in half because you have it's kind of wide. But the 5th ward is a good example of from Webster Avenue to the river. That's a natural that's a natural neighborhood.
Mr. Orwark, would you be willing to send to me the overlay of the 15,
you,
the 8 ward?
The village has them. Debbie got it from the county with the... And I the different neighborhoods are located, and I can do that. And I have the maps already produced.
Okay, that'd be great.
So I
I like... I mean, 15 sounds like a pretty...
15 was the best way to do it.
Right. And it seems like they would be... It wouldn't be so large that it would encompass an area where it really didn't feel like a neighborhood. It felt more like a kind of...
It's called natural neighborhoods. You want a natural neighborhood, right. What people normally think of as their neighborhood, Park DeLange Lane, would be a natural neighborhood. Right.
Okay, great. Thank you. Unless there's anything further, we'll take up the rule. Any additional information needed before... I entertain a motion with regard to the who would be the primary contact person and the expenditure for sending out the mailing. Trustee Rafter?
Just a comment in terms of advertising and getting the word out. I would recommend we take a look at putting out a press release, trying to get the Press Gazette to pick it up, trying to get the news media, because, like you said, we want to be aggressive about it. We want to let the people know that this is what we're going after. So I think that would be cheap and potentially effective.
And Brett, I can work with you. I'd like to contact the news media. They're always very willing to come here when we're talking about something like sexual offenders. And if you remember, this discussion came out of a hot topic like sexual offenders. So they should be equally interested in this solution that we're trying to generate to get the public involved. So that we can solve these problems together. So I'd love to work with you to contact the media to try to get them to print or to air on television what we're doing to solve this. Yeah, I'm sorry.
And one other comment is to send the flyers out to schools so that they can send it out to the parents. Parents might be very interested in getting involved in these associations.
I might recommend that we wait a couple of weeks on that one. I mean, it's the beginning of school and
lots of stuff.
Right, but at some point in time,
I agree. Yeah,
I would get it out to them, and that's it.
Trustee Harris,
Would it be worth it to investigate the cost of a couple of banners we could put out on village property advertising? Getting involved, whether it's the Village Hall here, the old Village Hall site, the community center, where we're getting traffic, local traffic, past there. That's a different way of alerting people about neighborhood watch or neighborhood associations are forming. Contact the village for more information or something along those lines.
All right, Webster Avenue, right? This is definitely community service. We could start there. The parks would be a nice place. I don't want to... But there are, you know, people I think who are interested in sort of community or neighborhood associations are probably hanging out in parks with their kids, and they might be very interested in something like this.
Do we need to get our own sign permit?
No, we don't.
We could also use it just to for directing traffic towards the village website, where the village website will for a period of time after we put them up, one of the main splash displays will be the neighborhood associations. And if we periodically move the signs, they'll get more attention. If it's at the community center for 6 months, it won't have the same effect as it will for the first week and a half.
Right.
We do have from the volunteer firefighters bought a large sign that's a lit sign, changeable, that we can set up and move that around as long as we get power.
Cool.
Would it be appropriate to set
even
up something?
Something like, you know, a chalk sandwich board? You know, it doesn't have to be something that's really big and you can see from. If we're putting something by the Green Isle Pavilion, for example, it could be something very small and discreet and tasteful, and just for people who are walking really close to that building.
We have some information boards. One is at Green Isle Park as you first walk in, right by the flower beds, and then we have one at the Senior Center as you pull up to the parking lot, just for public announcements.
Those are just like poster things, right, where you put things
up? Yeah, they're...
I think I've seen the one at the park where it's like a corkboard.
Inside is a corkboard, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We could also take a copy of those maps and send them to the churches in the community as well, and have them include them with posting them in their facilities or in their bulletins or something to help people be aware that this is something that's coming about. Because we're coming into a time of the year now where people, attendance at churches increases during this time up until, you know, Christmas. So.
Well, after Christmas.
That comes from the church.
Right after Christmas.
I'm wondering if, since I've got Ms. Wig and I'm drawing a total blank, our first name from the city to come and talk about the neighborhood association, could we create an ad hoc kind of steering committee or something to kind of get this thing going, so it's not on Brad or Trevor or anybody? I mean, I'd certainly be willing to sit on a committee like that to maybe sit down with some maps and try to pick a few volunteers, get the thing going before we, like you said, that's it for a year.
Something like a task force that wouldn't be a regular ongoing committee of the village, but something to get it up and running.
Right.
That's a good idea, putting it on. That might be a nice motion to entertain when the time comes soon.
We could create sandwich boards and have board members walk up and down Webster.
That's why we're called board. Any further discussion before I entertain a motion? Is there a motion with regard to this item?
I would move that we create a task force to include staff, board members, and volunteers to try to move this process forward, to identify some logical neighborhoods and try to recruit some volunteers and get the effort started.
Okay. I would imagine by the lack of addressing the issue in the motion that you're not in favor of the extra money spent on the mailer at this time.
And I don't think so.
There
wouldn't
be a particular
that
point person at this time. I guess the village administrator would be the default if anyone sort of got word of this. Okay. All right, good. Is there a second? Trustee Dart?
I'll second.
Further discussion?
I would be glad to join you, Trustee Gingrich, on this.
As would I. This task force should definitely involve DEO Lotno, especially at the beginning, and I would ask it to try to engage the services and knowledge of Mr. O'Rourke as well. Anything further? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
That could be fun.
Action regarding Resolution 2014-15 supporting state legislation relating to a uniform policy for the residency of registered sex offenders. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Gast?
I'll move to adopt the resolution.
Is there a second? Trustee Rafter? Discussion? I didn't ask the attorney. I think the idea was that we would get other municipalities to sign a similar resolution. So is the idea that we would pass this tonight and then send a copy of the resolution to other municipalities and encourage them to it? Okay. Another approach I was thinking of taking is having us get it on our agendas all at the same time and sort of, as one document, be basically sending one single statement to the state. I think this would probably have the same effect, but we'll see.
But we're in agreement, excuse me. So we're in agreement that the state should be directing each municipality to handle sexual offenders in the same manner.
That's what there should be some state legislation or guidance on how we should do these things. Trustee Reisner?
When I read this, the only thought I had was, do we want to limit sending it out to those municipalities in Brown County, or do we want to send it out to all municipalities in the state of Wisconsin? And I asked Debbie to look at how many of those there are, and there's quite a few.
A lot.
So unless we could do it electronically, how many did you say there were?
Well, from the Government Accountability Board, there were 1,600.
1,600. So that's like, well, what is that, $400?
In postage? Maybe that's just start with Brown County, see what kind of perception we get because of the attention it's gotten lately in our area.
Or both. I mean, we could, we could send it hard copy to municipalities in Brown County and email it out to. Is that what's the labor involved in finding out where to send an email to every municipality in the state? Is the League of Municipalities, can they pass through things like that, or how does it work? Do they have a listserv? Or?
There is a clerk's list that I can just send it out to the clerks.
There you go.
I think I agree with Trustee Harris that we might want to start hard copy local and then email out to as many municipalities throughout the state as possible.
Would it be an idea to entertain of sending a copy of this to the League of Municipalities to let them know what we're doing as our own municipality, just to keep an FYI kind of thing, and if you're interested?
Yep. And I would almost leave that up to our village administrator, too. I mean, let's pass the motion and then make sure that it's sent hard copy to the county, and then Brad, I think, could use his discretion as to how he can get it out to as many organizations that represent or involve with municipalities, or as many municipalities, actual municipalities themselves.
And speaking of the media, it wouldn't hurt to invite them to, send out a press release about this and that we're trying to lead the effort.
Our discussion with the media, Brad, could involve both of these issues. They're both related, obviously, to sexual offenders, and here's what we're trying to do to solve this problem. Okay, Trustee Rafter, did you want to add anything to your original motion with regard to where it's sent, or are you?
Nope, this is fine.
Okay.
Oh, so I do have to change it then, right?
We could take just it as a friendly amendment if you want
to. Yeah, just to send it out electronically to the clerks of the other municipalities.
And hard copy to the.
And hard copy in Brown County.
Okay.
That part is in there as well as the elected representatives.
Okay.
That's
really
in.
Oh, and the assembly, right. Okay. Who seconded the?
I seconded. Randy.
Is that correct with you, Trustee Gatt?
That is acceptable.
And it's acceptable to you, Trustee Rafter. Everyone understand the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 7, action to authorize the village administrator to fill the park, recreation, and forestry position. Is there a motion with regard to this item? You'll notice that the salary is in a separate item. Trustee Harris?
Oh, it is. Okay.
I move that we authorize the administrator to fill the park recreation and forestry director's job.
Okay. Is there a second? Trustee Dart? Discussion. Administrator Lang, anything you want to add to what you've given us?
No. Last meeting, I brought the job description with the changes to it. So that was approved at the last board meeting. And And this is just the final steps is to authorize, get the authorization to fill the position, and then also we'll be setting a wage scale. Be very helpful, and again, because some of the things that we've been discussing tonight are other items or avenues that this person could be involved with. Looking at the neighborhood associations, because we do talk about organizing events and activities within the parks. So that's certainly an opportunity to utilize this person as well.
Now, with my understanding, this will be filled in 2018, right? You're going to pull double duty until that time. The mic isn't on. I wasn't here last time. Was there a discussion about, I would imagine, the rationale for needing to fill the position? And did you have that discussion?
We didn't get too involved in that. It's one of those things that, you know, had some discussions with Trevor as of recent. As we're moving forward with a lot of activities that are taking place in the village, and either we need to continue to be aggressive and get our name, get our activities, get our what our village is about out in front of people, or we're going to just sit back and become
whatever we become.
Yeah. And that's not the direction that we'd like to see it go. We want to maintain that positive role model that somebody's out there that's continuously looking at the improvements of the village to want people to move to your village. So there it's a very it's an advocate position that holds a lot of different key elements within the village. And when you're talking having someone come over to your house and help you go through all your trees in your own yard, I mean, because that's part of the duties. That's a big sell. It's a big PR to our residents.
And for Brad and I have talked a lot about strategic planning and visioning for the village. And although when we were talking about the traditional neighborhood planning concept, we were talking about, you know, having these schematics perhaps of what the corridors might look like, so that when we start this visioning process, we actually have something in our heads about where we're going and what we want that to look like. So as much as the comprehensive plan doesn't provide that actual kind of visual, what it does provide in my mind every time I read it is we're all about parks, right? We're about sustainability and parkland and giving people a natural environment to walk and to bike. And so I can't think of a position that's more necessary than the park and rec position for this village.
I think that was part of our discussion last time. Was that this has been a key role for a long time, and I think our sense was we certainly need to continue that.
Just an interesting fact, there's been two full-time parks directors for the village in combined 42 years, I think. So it's been pretty much a long-standing position.
That's a good thing.
Okay, any further discussion with regarding the authorization to fill the park and rec position? Are you going to be able to find someone, Brad, with the variety of activities that the park and rec director engages in?
I think so. I think there's a lot of interest in this community.
Okay, good.
Do we have to include the salary in the motion? I don't think we did.
It's in number 8. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion carries. Now, item number 8, action regarding the Park, Rec, and Forestry Director's proposed salary. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Brad, what was the old Park and Rec Director making? The ex-Park and Rec Director.
Former.
71.
Pardon?
71.
Okay.
Is that including benefits or?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's a spreadsheet that
kind
of gives you a little bit of an idea of what some of our communities are paying as well as some others.
Oh, that's great. Okay. I'd like to make a motion to approve the proposed salary range for the Park and Rec Director position of $58,000 to $68,000. Is there a second? Trustee Gendron?
Second.
Discussion? Trustee Harris?
Is this position salaried exempt, or is it, I see how we have a breakdown of hourly wages, is it a non-exempt?
It's an exempt.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah, it's not an hourly. Otherwise, we would have been paying Brad more than $71,000 for the amount of hours that he put in. Trustee Raptor.
So we're being asked to, it's a range, we're not?
Correct.
Okay. Do we know, are there any other parks directors' positions open at this point in time in this area?
The last time I checked, there was only one listed in the state, and it was more of a superintendent, so that's in the Madison area.
Okay.
Has Bellevue filled theirs? I think the spreadsheet said that was open, right?
Yes, and I was part of the interviewing process, or the panel with Bellevue.
And, you know, this is, we come into this problem with wage and compensation studies, too. I mean, no two municipalities are alike, mm-hmm. and you'd be hard-pressed to find a park and rec director that's doing the same exact things that the Alloy Park and Rec is going to be asked to do. And so I want to make sure that we attract the interest of a wide pool of candidates. I don't think it's an outrageous salary range to do this. Anything further? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 9, action regarding ordinance 2014-18, creating section 6.14, the feeding of deer prohibited. Is there a motion with regard to this item?
I'll make a motion to approve this ordinance as stated.
Trustee Genrich moves to approve the ordinance as submitted. Is there a second? Trustee Dart seconds. Discussion?
Have we had trouble?
No. Trustee Dart, please.
Have we had trouble with people feeding the deer? Is that why this is brought forward?
We did have an... Well, no. This was brought forward in the whole public information meetings that we held, discussing whether or not we're going to have a control hunt in the village. And the DNR was recommending that we certainly get on our books an ordinance that prohibits the feeding of deer. But to answer to further answer your question, yes, there was an area that was feeding turkeys.
And that was my question, Brad. Why is this just specific to deer, and it says white-tailed deer? Do we want to limit it to white-tailed deer? Do we want to limit it to deer, or do you just not...
Can we include turkeys?
That would be different.
That's the bird issue.
He's not the fall guy, he tells me.
What Dennis was doing was following the state almost verbatim, how it's listed in the state statute.
Okay. Are there other deer besides white-tailed deer in Wisconsin? I have not. I'm not a hunter, so I don't know that. Okay. All right. Trustee Raffer.
I had a question initially. Is this a new one, or is this an ordinance that had existed or changing?
This would be new.
Okay.
And this came out of the survey that you did and with the turkey and deer issues kind of together.
They felt this was a good step in helping to control some of the issues.
And at present, without this, if someone is feeding deer, we really can't do much about it. So this would be a good move.
And you said the wording in terms of the size of the containers, the height of that, that's following the state?
Correct.
Okay. Anything further? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries as well. Item 10, action regarding ordinance 2014-20, repealing and recreating section 31.1, discharge of weapons other than firearms. This seems related to the previous item. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Would you like to hear from Mr. Lang before we vote? This is about bows and what, yeah.
Well,
Not necessarily related to the previous item. Okay. This is totally something totally different that the state has taken the ability for a municipality to control hunting within their boundaries if a person has a large enough piece of land that meets the criteria that has been laid out, which is hunting 100 feet or 100 yards, I think it is, from a structure. We really don't have that. But the language in this new legislation allows for the carrying of bows and crossbows. So
we need to include.
So if I understand you correctly, I've heard this before, that when it comes to home rule, they're very happy to let home rule alone when it comes to sexual offenders, but not to discharging firearms or other items. Okay, just so I understand. Trustee Renfrew.
How does this ordinance change from the ordinance that we had? Because this says we're going to repeal one and replace it with this.
I think for the most part, it's just adding bows and bow and crossbow on B, and then striking a little bit of language on C.
It's in bold.
Okay.
But the process is actually repealing the current ordinance and then recreating.
Correct.
Was that your question, Trustee Rock, or were you asking about the specific content?
And there seems to have been a recent proliferation of crossbow use and sales and all the rest. Hasn't there been fairly dramatic over the last few years, statewide?
If I'm not mistaken, you do not need a permit now to use a crossbow. That is open to anyone that purchases an archery license.
Really?
Where in previous years you needed a reason for a crossbow on your shoulder, whatever the case may be. But that's no longer the case.
And don't get me wrong, I think this is a good idea on the part of the state, that if someone has plenty of acreage and they happen to, I mean, they shouldn't be restricted from doing what they want on their own property. It just sort of struck me as a phenomenon where there are certain cases where they don't want to get involved, and there are other cases where they do. Trustee Harris?
I didn't know, attached to the ordinance is some email communications from Attorney Duffy, and he's talking about subsection C, and I don't know if any of the wording in his email has been resolved prior to putting this ordinance together. If we need to make sure that we get his feedback before we pass this.
I guess when I met with Dennis today, I'd asked the question if he's okay with the ordinance to move forward, and he indicated absolutely. It's just the wording so awkward. They wanted just to make sure that you're aware of that awkwardness and if there's any, I guess, better.
That's like one sentence.
Mm-hmm. Because it is very awkward.
It's a long sentence.
It's very long.
Violates grammar.
No sentences don't bother lawyers, do you, Trustee? Yeah.
Just add a semicolon and keep on going.
Semicolon's optional, also.
No, but it just seems to me that we changed B to add bow and arrow or crossbow in to prevent them from being on public property that the village owns and saying you can't do it on our property. And then we took it out of C because we can't regulate it anymore because the state took it over.
Correct.
And I would assume, Brad, that with the. I haven't looked at the acreage dimensional requirements in the state statute. I'm just guessing that if we exclude village-owned property, which we do in this ordinance, that there probably aren't a lot of parcels of land within the village that you would be authorized to hunt on based on the new state statute.
And I think you might get another opinion from somebody that would say, if I got permission from all my neighbors, that they don't mind me hunting in the backyard because I'm going to be closer than that, would you mind? Well, chances of you getting the okay from a large enough area was pretty unlikely. That is there.
I'm not understanding. It doesn't say anything here about getting permission of your neighbors, right? It says you can't do it.
If through the state, though, you could, we're saying no.
Right.
But if someone had, the question was already approached to me. And my understanding is if you were to get permission from a large enough area around your home to be able to discharge that, I don't know if we can regulate that.
But this ordinance wouldn't make it any easier or difficult. It would still be that same situation.
Well, then basically, they'd have to go to the new state legislation to figure out if they comply with the new state legislation to be able to hunt with a bow and arrow or a crossbow. We can't regulate it.
Right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Anything further?
All in favor?
We need a motion.
There's no motion? Oh, I'm sorry. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Gast?
I'll move to adopt ordinance 2014-20.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Trustee Gernert seconds. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Number 11, action regarding the appointment to the Brown County Planning Commission Board of Directors. I would like to propose that we appoint Trustee Harris to the Brown County Planning Commission, and I would serve as an alternate or backup for that position. Trustee Dart?
I'll second that.
Discussion?
Trustee Harris.
I'm purposely not looking that way.
I'm assuming if he accepts.
Yeah, we talked about it.
Okay.
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Trustee Harris. At number 12A, action regarding the Wisconsin Department of Transportation contract for the Green Avenue project. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Genrich?
I would move to approve the Public Works Committee minutes dated August 14.
We're not approving the minutes. We're taking 12A.
12A and the action on the deferral, if that's the right word, contract for Green Avenue.
Okay.
Included in those minutes.
Okay. All right. So we'll take a two-part motion to accept and place on file the minutes from the Public Works meeting. I think that's usually understood. And then to follow the Public Works Committee's recommendation to defer.
Correct.
That project. Okay. Is there a second? Trustee Rafter seconds. Discussion?
I think it was laid out quite well by Craig in the minutes here and explained very well in our Public Works meeting. And that was, we had a good discussion on all that. And it makes a lot of sense.
I think now I'm going to feel like an idiot because I need an explanation as to how the costs are the same, the $750, whether we do it with the DOT in cost sharing or whether we defer it and do it on our own later.
The cost... When we look at this project, in reviewing the contract and looking at the details of the project itself, one of the questions at staff level, one of the questions that we asked was, well, what is the cost going to be if we do this project ourselves versus do the project under the DOT guidelines and follow all the criteria that we have to follow in that project? When you do the DOT project, one of the elements that comes into play is, and I noted it in the memorandum, there's about $400,000 in engineering and review costs associated with the project. State review, plus all the work has to be done by a consulting engineering firm, design and construction.
And we can do a lot of that work ourselves?
We can do that ourselves.
Okay.
And
all
right there is a $400,000 difference. The cost in here, the $1.5 million in 2018 dollars, for the DOT project is the cost that was developed by Grafe. We retained Grafe to do this cost estimate for us last year when we applied because we're not used to working in the DOT format for cost estimating jobs. And also the DOT's own cost estimate. The $750,000 cost is our cost estimate based on our recent bids for how we would design the street. There was a sidewalk on one side, and then the other things that we would do like we did with the other half of Green Avenue. So when you look at $1.5 million versus our cost of $750,000, and we're only funded at 50% by the state, so if you take the 50% off the $1.5 million for the DOT cost, for what the cost estimate is for the project in that criteria, the cost to us is going to be about the same, whether we do it ourselves or we do it with the DOT.
Okay. So if we do it with the DOT, though, that's actual $750 in cash that we have to contribute to this project to have someone else do it, right? Would we be doing any of the work if we went with the DOT? We wouldn't be doing any of the work. If we don't go with the DOT, it's going to cost us $750 in our own labor and materials, right?
Yes.
To do this.
Yeah. Same cost.
But we're using up labor, too. That's $750,000 worth of, or some amount of worth of labor, if we do it ourselves, that we can't use on other projects.
Well, in the DOT project, it is still going to require a lot of our time. Like Riverside Drive.
All right.
We're actively involved in that project and actively involved in reviewing the design in detail. So, in reality, there is savings to us in labor by doing the project ourselves because we don't have that other big contribution over the next 2 years that we would be involved in.
Okay, fair enough.
The second part of the reason for looking at this and saying maybe we're better off just not doing this as a DOT project, and I did summarize it in the memo, it really comes down to all the other things we have going on.
Right.
With Riverside Drive coming up in a couple of years, I guess staff feels it's better to focus on that. And then we have the water main project that we receive funding on. We have our plate full as it is without adding all of the commitment to this other project. And Green Avenue is not as high a priority when you look at utilities and everything else.
Right.
We could do it a little bit later and it'll still be fine. So that was the logic.
That was one of the compelling parts to me, is that there are other streets that are in more need of repair than this one. And if we can get to those sooner, I think that's a good idea.
And you'd ask yourself the question, well, why is this on the table at this point in time as a project? Well, this project started in terms of funding applications more than 10 years
yeah.
ago. At that time, that was a real high priority. But what we've learned about all the other things, it's come down in priority compared to other projects.
And we could always reapply for another grant.
We always can.
And yes. That would be at 80% funding versus 50%.
Right.
That's correct.
How many of the projects are like this, Craig, that if we were to get just 50% funding, that we could probably do it ourselves for...
There's several case histories out there statewide. We actually looked at those to see what happened. There are several case histories where the community decided to go ahead and do the project themselves and spend about the same amount of dollars. But it also has happened right here in our metro planning organization. 2 years ago, I don't remember which community dropped out, but Ashwaubenon received additional funds because another project dropped out of the funding program.
Right.
What will happen in this case is this money will go to one of the other communities.
Right. But we have a lot of projects where we're getting, matching funds or, some entity is funding some proportion of the project. And I'm assuming that every time we entertain these things, the argument I've heard previous to this is, boy, this is a lot of money. They're going to be giving us 75% or 60% of the project cost, so we need to really do this. But every time something like this comes to us, we do an analysis of what it would cost to do it ourselves to see if it's to our advantage to actually take the matching funds, depending on the regulations that we have to go through if we actually take the money from someone else, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. Trustee Harris.
I don't know if it's a simple answer or not, but what's causing this project to be funded only at 50% as opposed to others at 80%?
Because this project has been around so long, and when it was originally submitted for funding way back more than 10 years ago, it was just resurfacing. As time went on, the project scope increased, but since then, Transportation Act 75, Complete Streets, came into play. Now all of the projects have to be if they receive federal funding, they have to be compliant with Transportation 75 complete streets. That does add quite a bit to the cost. And also, the MPO, the planning organization, changed a couple years ago. The state gave the organization more funding, so there's more projects being funded, but it's federal transportation dollars. And this project, along with a number of others, were put into that category. And so that's what changed this cost. The cost has gone up, but we haven't been able to keep the cost estimate up with the actual cost of the project. So all we could get in this case was 50% funding. It's because of a course of events and this cost becoming so much greater than what was originally estimated, even with the cost increases we were able to get approved. All we could get was to the 50% level. We couldn't get to 80%.
So in essence, if the application was put in before a certain period of time and it hasn't met a certain dollar threshold, it was only 50%. Right. Once that time period, once you get past that point in time or you're above a certain dollar amount, then you have to comply with Act 75 and you're eligible for 80% funding. Right.
So
okay,
we got caught in a conundrum here where we could not get the funding level that you'd like to get on a project. That's a whole course of events, but we couldn't change it. We tried to get it to the 80%. We really couldn't make that happen.
Thank you.
Thanks, Craig. Trustee
Durham. I'm just thinking about the comprehensive plan, and I pulled it out of here, or out of the drawer to take a look, and I don't see complete streets in just per se in our plan. It hasn't been quoted that we would try to, you know, do complete streets, but it does say the sidewalks. And how does the complete street, the state's complete street, differ from that? It would be wider and have bicycle lane. Is that it?
It's basically what it is that in a federal funding situation, you have to provide bicycle facilities and pedestrian walking facilities. And then if you can't, there's cost criteria that you can keep stepping down to a lesser degree of complete streets till you reach the point where it's an approvable project, but you're still complying to some percentage of a full complete street design. But it's that additional bike lanes, sidewalks on both sides, that results in a wider street, property acquisition, and a whole variety of things that come into play. That's part of what drives the cost.
Right, but what I'm trying to think about is, can we accomplish what we want in our comprehensive plan with that street without doing complete streets?
I believe we can, because it would be similar to the western portion. You have a sidewalk on one side of the street, slightly wider travel lanes, so that it accommodates bikes, so we wouldn't strike the bike lanes in it, because the traffic volume is such that we don't have to have a striped lane. So you'd have a good bike route and have a sidewalk.
Would we have bicycle signage? Or do you have to have stripes and signage together?
No, we wouldn't have to. Okay.
Craig, I forgot to ask you this before, but since we're talking about streets at least, can you give us a quick 15-second update on the Hoffman Road Leibold roundabout? There was a question during the past couple of weeks as to whether that would be finished in time for when school started, and school started today. Do you know when that's going to be? Is it passable? Can kids walk through there right now? Or
well, the county is behind schedule on the project. I think for a number of reasons. One is we've had some lost work days because of rain. But also I think they're juggling two or three projects, and so they're kind of back and forth between projects. They've given us a schedule where it was supposed to be paved 2 weeks ago and then last week, and now it's supposed to be paved this week, starting this week. Hopefully it will start later this week and at least get the first mat down from the roundabout all the way to Webster by early next week. It might also depend a little bit on the weather. If we get another day or two of rain, that might delay it a day or two. They do want to put the signage up before they open the roundabout. So I don't know when it's going to open. From the information we had, we thought it would be open by now.
Right.
That was the target.
Do you think you could get in touch with someone to get the? Because I'm sure I'm going to get some emails about it. And I think you were involved in that one email from a resident wondering.
Yeah,
so
I get some everyday questions every day about it.
Okay, if you could just give us some sense of when they think they'll be finished, that'd be helpful. Do we have a crossing guard there? We usually have a crossing guard there, right? Where is the crossing guard now?
I'm not sure. I was going to ask Mark a few of those questions.
Okay, all right. If you could just share that with the board, because I'm sure we'll get some questions about kids walking through there. So, thank you.
Yeah. Is the roundabout paved right now?
No, it's not.
They haven't even done the roundabout.
And they were finished grading today, so it's ready to be paved.
Okay.
And we need to get it paved, and we're going to have to. And we've taken a fairly aggressive approach with the county to keep things moving along, but it's
didn't you say one of their machine, their paving machine broke or something? Did I hear that?
Well, I think they just got their hot mix plant running a couple of weeks ago. So that's delayed some of the work, too.
Oh, the plant?
The plant, yeah.
Okay. I digress, sorry. Any further discussion on 12A? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 12B, discussion of the water main replacement project phase 2.
I put this on here for information so that you had this information as soon as I could get it to you, as soon as we had the information. There's a memorandum in here that summarizes the status. This was part of, if you recall, last November, December, when we decided to proceed with the water main project, with the reconstruction phase 2. This was part of that package of things that we were going to move forward. But we submitted this for funding with the DNR with the safe drinking water fund. Quite honestly, I thought with our priority score being 37 points, it might be 2 or 3 or 4 years before we would get funded. But that didn't turn out to be the case. We were awarded funding for this project, so we can proceed with the project. We do need to proceed with it. We do need to complete bidding and contract of work and signing the financial assistance agreement with the DNR by next June 30th. These are the 10 highest priority water mains to replace in the village, so it does accomplish a significant additional step forward in terms of replacing old water mains, and then in conjunction we'll be repaving that portion of the street and any curb replacement that's associated with where the water main is located. But like I said, we were a little surprised that we did get funding on this. There was not a lot of projects submitted to the DNR for funding, and that's why the funding came down to my level. The first project we did a couple years ago, if you recall, that was in for funding for 2 or 3 years before we got funding. And that one we got funded because there weren't enough applications, so we resubmitted and got funded. In this case, there were only 26 projects submitted statewide. Normally, there would be at least 50 or more, and we were more than 100 projects down on the list, in the priority list. But so that's good news. The bad news is it is a project that does have a financial impact because it will result in some capital expenditure, and it does impact our rate. We are going to have to do a Public Service Commission rate case probably in 2015, so this would be incorporated into that to determine what our rate would be in 2016. So that's kind of where we're at. So I wanted to get that out so that you are aware of it.
And that's on top of the other rate increases that we're going to be taking?
Well, as far as our revenue, our net income is down a bit in the water utility because of the cost of doing business and the cost of having gone up over the last 3-4 years. The Central Brown County Water Authority will have a rate increase, I'm believe it will be in 2016. I don't believe it's a significant rate increase, but there will be a rate increase in 2016, so that will be part of the rate case as well. But yes, we're going to have an impact in both.
And that's not to mention the sewage district.
The sewage, yeah.
So the utility bill.
Because we're going to get hit by, what, $10 or something like that from the sewer?
10%.
10%.
10%.
Per year.
For, I believe, two more years, I believe.
Any questions for Mr. Burke? Trustee Harris?
So the increase would be about $2.20 per person, per household throughout the village per month for the life of the loan?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I used the $2.20. I just did the simple calculation, number of homes and so forth. The rate case will actually determine what it is. It might be less than that based on the rate case. But just the cost of this project, in rough numbers, that's going to be about $2.
And then is there any history of if we're replacing the water mains on 10 residential streets, is there any history of assessing those households differently than the rest of the village? Or is it always that the entire village pays for that work being done equally?
That's the way it's been done for a good many years now. It's just assess all.
Okay.
The cost is borne by all users rather than assessments.
Any further questions? Okay, we'll move on to item 13, action regarding the approval of the certified survey map for 500 Fairview Drive. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Gass?
I'll move to approve the CSM for 500 Fairview Drive.
Is there a second? Trustee Dart? Discussion?
It's quite a project.
Yeah, I know. They've got the tillers up there. They put an addition on the back. Is that right, Trevor?
That's correct.
And they just want to connect the two lots. And do you know what they're going to do? Are they going to put an entrance in on that side, or are they?
To my knowledge, they're going to fence off that part of the property.
And it looks like they have the big brick pillars up around the perimeter. Okay.
Their main access actually has changed from the Terraview to Ridge.
All around the corner.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And that was just some setback issues.
Okay.
How's that?
It's a nice place. More power to them. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion carries. Action number 14, action regarding the approval to develop an RFP to solicit quotes for a corridor study. Is there a motion with regard to this item? I will make a motion to approve Mr. Fuller to develop an RFP to solicit quotes for a corridor study. Is there a second? Trustee Dart? Seconds? Discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
We got more to talk about.
Too late.
Yeah.
Got excited.
Yeah.
But Trevor, David, and I have been working on kind of the protocol that we're going to be utilizing. I thought maybe
okay.
We have to explain a little bit about the process.
Oh, was this?
Okay, can I quickly
rewind?
Trevor delegated this job to me.
All right.
Handed out his. When we put together a draft outline on what an RFP would look like, I wasn't quite sure on what the experience of the board was on looking at RFPs. So what we tried to do here is just to put together some highlights of what would be included. If you focus on item 3, the scope of services for a corridor study, this touches on previous discussions. We spoke about the work. There's data gathering and analysis. This we talked about a little bit earlier. It also came up with Plan Commission. This gets a little bit into a marketing study like we had talked about. But when you do this on a municipal level, the data that we would gather would talk about things like population, number of rooftops, number of cars traveled on the road, land base, land use, areas eligible for development, not eligible, how far away is the airport, is there a road spur? Depending on what you're focusing on, that's what the data gathering would say. If I was a developer and I'm looking at a project, there are specifics that I would have to analyze within my project. Can I, if I have an office space I plan on renting, can I rent for this dollar amount? Is there enough market for that? So there is the developer's role that they have to answer those questions. But we try to gather, and an RFP would require a consultant to put together step one of the data gathering. So for example, if you wanted to develop a McDonald's or a Perkins restaurant, the first thing they're going to look at is they're going to say, do you have 20,000 cars a day on that road? If you can say yes, then they'll look at the site. If you say no, they're not going to look at the site. That's one of those magic numbers. If you want a festival food or a big chain retailer, they're going to say, do you have 5,000 rooftops within 5 miles? If you say yes, then they'll look at the site. If you say no, they're not going to. So that's what our bird's eye view does. Then when you get a developer on the ground, then they analyze square footage cost and rental cost and things like that. That's their job. Going down into this, into some level of the actual development, we have alternate scenarios. And this would not necessarily be laid out in exactly this order, but we look at community and stakeholder participation. With input from the community, from the board, from appointed and elected officials and residents, we scope out a vision, and we tighten up that vision with alternate scenarios. Some people like green space, some people like development. Some people might like the riverfront and the pier more than they like the riverfront in Green Bay. So that's where we require alternate scenarios to help us visualize and put this thing together. Then we go into our timeline, budget, and deliverables. So at the very end, we know, just like a comprehensive plan, you'll get so many copies, you'll have color renderings, things like that will be specified. That when you retain a consultant, they'll know at the end of the game that this is what you as a board and what the village wants to see from a product. Going down to the bottom, one of the things that we had talked about were the three study areas: Fox River Corridor, Webster Avenue Corridor, and South Elway Master Plan. I just made up those terms, so that's not necessarily what the final terms will be, but I thought everyone would identify it. The concept is we get this off the ground with the Fox River Corridor study, and my research and Trevor's research said we need to look at $50,000 to do that Fox River Corridor study. Then the idea is we work on a phased approach. A consultant comes in and has a one-year-long contract to do the Fox River study, understanding that we have two more phases to go into. But we're not married to that consultant for phase two and phase three. If we don't like it, if they fail, we can solicit RFPs to different consultants. They have then, on the other hand, they have the incentive for phase two and three. If they get a good job, there should be an incentive to keep working in Alloway. So we're trying to protect ourselves as well as encouraging consultants to give as much as we can, give as much cost as they can.
Okay, I apologize. I didn't see this up here, and I read this as to develop an RFP to solicit quotes. I'm assuming this is going to come back to us. This is a draft of a RFP outline. This is going to come back to us before you actually start to solicit quotes, right? I'm assuming that you also want to get some sort of quotes. Do you want to get some sort of quotes before the budget's locked down for next year, or are we going to go with the $50,000 estimate that you've come up with when we have budget discussions as to whether or not we want to engage in a corridor study?
Well, there would be, and Brad might want to elaborate on this, but on my last point, we had funding possibilities through the TIP and grant applications. One of the things Trevor was looking at already is and this came up on a related subject, there's coastal management money. That's any waterways that are connected to the Great Lakes.
Great Lake waters or directly connected. The DNR has grants. There's different opportunities that could help us offset the actual dollars.
So time is not of the essence in terms of the budgeting process. Okay.
Time is kind of
Trustee Dart.
Okay, sorry. Time is kind of the essence in as the study goes forward with the highway down there. We have to really look at where the access points are, and I think that's just that makes the timeline shorter for that area. I don't know how we can work with the DOT on that to change anything at this point. It seems the discussions, I believe, at Plan Commission and so forth were that, there was still that kind of opportunity. But without the study, we have no idea what we want, do we?
Not absolutely. So there are some limitations where, limitations on both sides. We have limitations through DOT standards and requirements, but they're also, they understand that we'll be studying this and looking at it. And I believe what we're talking about is a 2015 proposal or corridor study, so that we would still be within their planning scope to work out these details.
That was my understanding at the last meeting, is we're a ways out from finalizing anything with the DOT as to what the project is going to actually look like.
And we do have the recent interest from the private party located down along Marine Street, which would be right in the middle of this first phase, right?
That's right. And so there's certain things that could happen in conjunction.
Right.
In this corridor.
Trustee Rafferty.
Is there a reason that we're doing it incrementally, as opposed to trying to do all three of them?
Part of it was the natural timeline. Working along with the DOT, they're doing Riverside first, Webster's coming later. The other thing happens is there's a certain amount of staff commitment and also just the timing when you're trying to retain a consultant. If the project blows up too big, I think it becomes harder to manage on both sides of the table.
And there's always also the money issue. I mean, it's a lot to spend on planning all at one in one fell swoop. And like you said before, if we don't like a consultant, if they're contracting for three projects in one, it's much different than doing it incrementally and not having to use the original contract or the original consultant that we didn't want to. Trustee Gass?
I think my comment was more or less just budget related. I think we should definitely pursue all of the grants and funding we can from a state or national basis. And to the extent we've got to take anything out of our own pocket, since it is TIF reimbursable, my sense is it should come out of fund balance and then reimbursed back into fund balance as TIF proceeds come available for reimbursement purposes. Mm-hmm. And so it won't be a general levy tax level. Mm-hmm.
But if we're not going to do the Webster corridor until later, I don't think there's much use in studying it now if we don't have to, right? And we can do it in the increments that are naturally going to occur in the development of those corridors.
That's right. And then again, on that point of grants, it gives us a little bit of breathing room to go after grants and build the process with the money.
Trustee Raptor.
When you say in 3E, or no, not 3E, but 3C, development and alternative scenarios, and to be able to visualize, do we actually expect to see renderings of possibilities, so streetscapes and all that?
Yes. In my experience with these, that's quite often seen up front. And it always astounds me how when you have a consultant with some of that ability, there is somebody who will whip these plans out that from across the room you can see exactly what they're pitching.
Mm-hmm.
And those are quickly generated, and this is how I would envision this thing coming up. They're quickly generated based on the ideas that they can gather from the community. Then you'd say, I like this, I don't like that. Oh, look at that, I hadn't thought of that. That's usually where that consultant brings that expertise out to say, I had not thought of moving here. I never thought of doing that. Then you know that survives, and then those scenarios tighten up as the process tightens up. So that when you're all done, you have, for lack of a better term, a pretty picture that does represent the thoughts and feelings.
So you're not really waiting a year to see any results.
The first results come out quickly so that you can help to see, okay, what does green space really mean? And the example that I used to other people, our ordinance talks about green space, but if you spread green space around the parking lot in a 30-foot ribbon, it really means nothing.
Right.
If you can take that percentage and put it together, then all of a sudden you've got something.
And the last question I have is, do we ask for examples of previous works from these folks?
Yes. That's part of the requirements to say, what are the abilities of your staff? Who do you have on staff? And tell us about your job. So we can also solicit opinions from other municipalities and say, did you like these people or not? What are their strengths or shortcomings?
But can we actually see the output of their work from other
projects?
Okay. I'm sorry, I had one last one. What is South Alloway Master Plan? What is that area?
Made up term.
I know. I'm just trying to figure out what it means.
we had this discussion in the Planning Commission about planning efforts that should be focused on the southern end of some of the undeveloped lands within Alloway. That takes on a little bit of a different scope because you don't have the natural corridor. Sometimes it's a master plan, sometimes it's called an area development plan. Exactly what that means, we've just discussed this with the Planning Commission, so that's why I thought I wanted to make sure to capture the idea.
But is that just everything south of 172, or what do you consider South Alloway to be?
I don't have the answer because the Planning Commission threw it at process staff, so I thought, well, let's just make sure to grab that idea, and then we'd have to focus what that boundary would be. What needs connecting, what needs info.
I think they went with South Alloway because South Beach was already taken.
We've got T-shirts we're working on.
Thank you. Any further discussion? We already voted, so we don't have to do that. All right. Unless there are objections, we will take items 15A through D. Is there a motion with regard to the consent agenda, items 15A through B?
I move to accept the consent agenda as is.
Trustee Gendron?
I'll second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Is there a motion to convene into closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 19.851C to consider employment, promotion, compensation, or performance evaluation data of any public employee over which the governmental body has jurisdiction or exercises responsibility, and specific issues regarding the zoning and planning administrator, a zoning and planning administrator, special equipment operator, employment status, and the water meter installation project staffing? Trustee Darnes.
Yes.
Thank you. Is there a second? Trustee Rafter, roll please.
Aye.
Trustee Harris. Trustee Gendron.
Aye.
Trustee Rafter.
Aye.
Trustee Van Noven is an aye. Trustee Dart.
Aye.
Trustee Gaff.
Aye.
Trustee Dennis. We're in closed session.